Life, Love, Faith, and Family is sponsored by the generosity of CityServe. Please go to cityserve.us to learn more about this amazing organization that works in cities across America and internationally. CityServe works through your local church to bless the underserved with their 10 initiatives. Go to cityserve.us to find out more and to bless them, won't you?
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. I'm Jim Kress, and on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for making us a part of your day. We appreciate your time and support for what we do to help you grow better relationships and a deeper faith. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Call our constituent care team at 800-526-8673 for information on AACC resources, courses, scholarships, and live events. And if you like what you hear on today's broadcast, tell a friend and join us on social media for more content. Just go to timclinton.com to find out more. And now let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back into LLFF today. I'm your co-host, Zach Clinton. And on behalf of my dad and co-host, Dr. Tim Clinton, I want you to know that you are appreciated, that God loves you, and that He has a plan for you no matter how dark your days may seem. No matter how much pain or fear you're in, my friend, there is hope. And my special guests back today, they know a lot about pain, fear, and the redemptive hope that our Lord and Savior can provide. They're an amazing couple who you may have heard of. Their names are Helen and David Smallbone. And there's a new movie out right now that is actually based on their amazing lives and careers, the journey to America, and the incredible success of their kids in music ministry. The music, you know of it, for King & Country, Rebecca St. James, Grammy Awards, Dove Awards, the resumes, and discographies, those things speak for themselves. But the servant hearts and years of wisdom of the mom and dad in front of me is what I want to dive into today. And David and Helen, you know, what I love about the movie, I remember one specific scene. Joel and Luke were at an Extraordinary Woman event recently, and they played a quick segment. And it was just a powerful scene that really stirred my heart, brought tears to my eyes. And it was when you guys brought your family together. You kind of rounded them in a circle, and you started to talk about the power and the significance of prayer. You even passed the jar around saying that when we collect money or if we make money, to put money in the jar because we're going to rebuild this thing together. Something that we were talking about before I even pressed record was, you know, the significance of having these conversations and exposing your faith to your kids in the midst of these challenging times. David, speak to the significance of generational influence and how the greatest gift we can truly give our children is a relationship with Jesus Christ.
What you mentioned about prayer, Helen and I both had praying parents, and we've had wonderful lives, and we've looked at it on occasions and thought, how did this happen? Even during the period that I was weak, I feel we were protected. So our parents prayed for us every night. And then a thing that had happened, beginning of COVID, because when we first got married, we would pray every night too, and I'd go to sleep.
Yeah.
And that offended her. And so we were still a praying family, but we didn't have the discipline of praying together every night. So beginning of COVID, Helen came to me and said, hey, we need to pray every night. We need to pray for our kids and pray for those, pray for direction, pray for those who have had health issues. So we started that. And every night, last night she prayed, the night before I prayed, and normally goes on for about 20 minutes. That's been a terrific discipline. And I went to her last year and I said, hey, baby, I'm more in love with you. Like, I'm starting to fade a bit physically. I'm not where I used to be. I've got peripheral neuropathy and stuff. And I said to her, I can't believe this love relationship is so strong for me. She was a bit surprised that it came out of nowhere. And I thought about it the next day or two, and I thought, well, what has matured our relationship? At that time, it had been 48 years. Mm. We'd been married and we'd known each other for 52 years. And I think it was that prayer time, because every night, if there was ever any silly little tension with us, it would dissipate. It was almost like in-house therapy for Helen and I, that 20, 25 minutes that we have every night. So looking at functionality in marriage, in life, like I remember the kids, I remember Joel praying so fervently when he was 8, you know, for food on the table, how are we going to survive all this thing? So prayer has been a very important part of what we do. Rebecca, whenever she does a concert, whenever she does an interview, out of everybody in the industry, she's about the only one that prays, Lord, give me the words. Mm. And she's always felt a bit weak. And I think part of it starting so young, you know, her first album came out when she was 16. Yeah. But that prayer element, which I think sometimes is so easy, a lot of times we disregard. And I think it's been an integral part of survival when we first come here and allowing our marriage. We're like every marriage. There's a silly little things like I'll forget to take out the garbage, or I'll forget to bring up the washing from the basement, or something. And, you know, sometimes silly little things can be bigger things. But I think in a weird kind of way, we've been protected. And I think part of it is our parents' prayers and now our prayers. It's kind of like this crazy in-house therapy.
I like it. Miss Helen, you know, as we're hearing David even talk about just the power of prayer, and as you guys pray together, and that's kind of something that is a very sacred and special moment between your marriage, but also obviously in the movie it portrayed it was a significant time in your family's life. Why is it so important to expose our children to our faith and to praising God and worshiping God before our breakthrough, so that way they can at least be exposed to it and see it and try to hopefully allow it to be influential in their life? To the parent out there who's listening who says, well, I thought my, you know, relationship with God was supposed to be very intimate, just between me and Him. Why is it important to expose our children and even our spouses to that faith as well?
I think it shows the reality of it. I encourage parents to invite Jesus into the home because I think so often we rely as parents on the church, the Christian school, you know, other people to actually impact our kids. Yeah. But those principles that are in the Bible are to be lived on a day-by-day basis. They are to be lived in our lives all the time. They need to be the foundation. And I think as the kids see us as parents, our faith being real, and we prayed for specific needs. So we were praying for food to be put on the table. We were praying for a car. We were praying for furniture. And when we were praying for those things and the kids see those things being provided, it just gives them such confidence that God is real, that God is here, that He's seeing what's going on. And to me, that's just so, so important. And everybody's not going to live our life.
Yeah.
And they're not going to have had the extremes that we faced in the early 90s.
They'll have different extremes.
Different ones. But to bring Jesus in, to use His principles every day. It can be praying with your kids when they go to school. It can be talking. I believe in sitting down as a family and being at dinner and talking about our days and praying with kids, having devotions together, reading a devotional. It's inviting Jesus in His principles into our everyday lives and relationships. And then it impacts the kids because they're seeing it modeled.
Yes.
They're seeing faith, it being real. Even talking about your weaknesses, you know, even talking about your struggles, even talking about how you might have let them down and asking for forgiveness.
Yes.
That's just all so powerful and should be there on a day-by-day basis. And it will change those children.
I love what you're saying, right? The power of inviting Jesus into the midst of our marriages and our families and how significant that is. You know, as I was sharing with you guys before we pressed record and jumped on this interview together, I've had the opportunity of interacting with several of your kids, right? Rebecca, Joel, and Luke at several of our events. I remember recently, earlier this spring, we kicked off our Extraordinary Women Tour. We were in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We actually had Casting Crowns booked to perform a concert for us on Friday night, which is kind of like our God in Country Country Night. And we were so excited just to hear from them. But unfortunately, in that time, Mark Hall's dad was really sick and ended up passing away. And so they had to go into the hospital. And obviously, we understood that we wanted them to be with their family. And so we thought to ourselves, well, we want to make sure that the ladies have somebody that is like of equivalent to Casting Crowns. And so we gave a call to for King and Country. And Joel and Luke, having done events for us in the past, it was a 3-day turnaround, you guys. And Joel and Luke were so humble enough. They said they checked their calendar and they said, you know what? We don't have anything going on. We'll be there. And they came and they delivered just such a passionate concert. And I remember it was just a worshipful experience. And I shared this with you. Wow. One of the greatest compliments I can give you guys as parents is that they are the most humble and I would say authentic in faith men I've really ever been around when it comes to the worship, the Christian, you know, contemporary music field, because they're the same person backstage as they are on that stage. It's not a performance, you guys. It's very genuine and it's very real. And I believe it's because of the influence that you guys have exposed them to. And it's because of the faith and it's because of the praise and the worship in the midst of the suffering. Now, let me ask you guys this. I know life is sped up a lot. I know you guys, obviously, they're traveling a lot, on tour a lot. I know you guys have, is it 8 grandkids too? Is that what it is?
No, we have 15 and a half.
Okay, well, goodness.
We are now a family of 30 and a half.
What? 30 and a half, right? So life has definitely sped up. How do you guys slow it down and keep on focusing on generational influence and connecting together as a family?
Well, we've got a little farm out here. So last night we had Rebecca's got 3 children. So they were over here. I think one of our great joys is hanging with the grandchildren and, believe it or not, taking them to Cracker Barrel.
Yes.
And
we took... That's become like the family tradition.
Yeah, I love it.
And the grandkids come over.
And the kids love it.
I think they like the toys outside better, hoping that they're going to convince us that we should be buying something. But we may more often say no than yes. So I think that just going and seeing the toys is a big sort of influence for why they like it. But it has become a tradition.
And also we have family get-togethers, you know, at least once or twice a year, all the family. Like, we're going down to Australia next month, and most of the family are going to be there.
Wow.
End of last year, we all got together. We rented a big house down in Florida, and there was at that time, was there 29 of us?
About that.
I think we've had another one since. And so as you know, Zach, it's like love, like marriage.
Yeah.
You have to be committed at it, and you have to be prepared on occasions to talk about some of the hard issues, and sometimes you just have to keep your mouth shut. You know, like this, you know, it's a, it's kind of having wisdom. And suddenly we've got, I've got six children-in-law now. I've got 5 daughter-in-laws. And my best story on daughter-in-laws is because, you know, I'm an apologist for 7. Zach, you could go and have 7. Okay, you know, you told me you're about to get started. So I wait until my daughter-in-law's signed out of the dotted line and then married. And then I get them and say, okay, you've married a small bone. Now you have to have 7 children. And they don't know. It shakes them up big time. But I, in a funny kind of way, you know, a lot of truth is said in jest. Having 7 kids have been so wonderful. And I think for me particularly, it's challenged my selfishness. That's why I needed to have so many. But I remember when Rebecca was, you know, 5 or 6, I'd go and sing with her, pray with her, talk with her. She'd tell me about her problems at school. And I used to get great joy. I was her in-house therapist. She'd come up and say, oh, this person was nasty to me at school. And I'd talk it through with her. And then her worry would evaporate and I would feel so good about myself. And I would do that nightly. She wanted to go to sleep. So she'd go to bed, go to sleep, and then I would kind of put the kids to bed. And she didn't always respect me for doing that. I did that with the first 5. I stopped doing it on the last 2. And she said after that, David, our last 2 missed out on that special moment in time. So a bit of a sidebar there, but a bit of a very special memory for me.
Absolutely, guys. It's fun.
I think grandparents do play a big role in their grandchildren's lives.
Absolutely.
Even if it, and so we have, I don't want to raise my grandchildren. I think after raising seven kids, it's sort of like, yeah, you know, I've been there, done that. Yeah. It's your turn now. But I do want to be there as an encouragement, as a support, you know, babysitting, just being able to speak alongside their parents, which with what we know is truth. Mm. And we spend a reasonable amount of time with them, and hopefully as we continue to slow down,
that's right,
we will spend more time with them.
And I'll tell you a special moment that just happened last night. So we've got Rebecca's kids over here. And how old is River?
Three.
River's three. So I'm out there. My responsibility to keep my beloved happy is she's got about 200. She's got 250 animals or something, and 200 of them are ducks, geese, guinea, and chickens. I put them away every night. So I take little River out with me to put them away. And it was just a grandfather, grandson bonding time. He loved it. You know, I got him to put the food into the plates and stuff like that. And he holds my hand because he's a bit worried that the geese might come after him. So he's holding my hand. It's just a special moment.
That is a very special moment. I'm reminded of one of my favorite books that I read long ago was by a man named John Ortberg. The book was titled, I Like You More If You Are More Like Me. And he talks about the power of intimacy. He defines intimacy as mastering the art of the shared experience. And he said that Christ not only was the greatest leader to ever walk the face of the earth, but he gives us the perfect example of what intimacy really looks like. He said, think about what he did with his disciples. They ate together, they prayed together, they fished together, they went hiking together, they did all these things together. And then he made this statement, which you guys are insinuating. He never placed efficiency over intimacy. He said he was perfectly willing to go about doing his work more slowly if it meant connecting with those that he loved more deeply. And so just being able to recognize that it's those moments, right? Putting the animals away, right? It can seem like such a hassle, but it's such an opportunity that provides moments and memories that your grandkids will cherish for a lifetime. Now, my dad was one of eight, so he understands big families, and he always jokes around, and he says one thing that we knew was that the Clinton kids were never allowed over for dinner because they would always raid people's refrigerators, and those people would be out of food, right? So they never got invited over much, but big families are fun. And I want to ask you guys a fun question, too, as we kind of come to a close here. The one question I would have is a lot of best-selling songs between Rebecca and Luke and Joel, Grammy Awards, all these things. Is there a favorite song that you guys really appreciate that Luke and Joel play for King and Country, but also Rebecca?
I'll go first. God Only Knows by For King Country. And it's emotional for me to say this, but the hundreds and hundreds of people have written in or been on social media and said, that song saved me from suicide. It's not easy doing what they do, and I'm a partner with them. I own a third of King Country. But when I see a song going so deep that someone is so broken that they want to do away with their life, and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the boys have written and recorded a song that goes to someone's core. That song has, and there's lots of other songs, but that song and its reaction out in the marketplace and goes back to that core principle of ours, loving on the broken heart. That's sometimes right. We can have these ideals and strategies, and are they really real? But then when I see that happening, that touches me in a deep place.
Absolutely.
Rebecca.
Oh, you do, Rebecca.
No, he wanted a Rebecca from both of them.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear that. Probably God. Mm. You know, I remember a record label executive saying, "Oh, you can't call an album God."
Yeah.
You know, like it's almost sacrilegious. And but that I really, out of everything Rebecca recorded, I really felt that her heart was true. It's not easy doing what she'd done. Christian music for female is very, very hard. Mm. But I felt that was an inspired song and really evidenced what her core ministry was all about.
For me, Zach, I mean, there's so many, really, and there are favourites at different seasons and probably different albums. But currently, I go back to probably the first song that Rebecca ever wrote, which was a simple song that was written on Psalm 139, and it's called Search Me. It was actually even a bonus track. It was just her vocal, a very simple background. It's expressed something from a very deep place, and it always ministered to me. The song that she wrote, I think it's on the Transform album, that is now being featured, which is He Makes Everything Beautiful.
Yes.
So appropriate for this movie.
Yes.
So appropriate. And it has always stood out as a huge theme song. He does make everything beautiful in his time. And so to me, that's a life principle that I have seen evidenced. And so it speaks deeply to my heart. And then for Fakir and Country, I probably like Shoulders. It's been highly played. It's a strong song, again, based on another psalm. But the one that I was so proud of that they wrote and is my heart is a simple song called Benediction. And it's a hymn that they wrote for the album What Are We Waiting For? And it just speaks, Luke, I think, wrote it. Yeah. It speaks his heart and it speaks mine too.
You guys, it's encouraging just to hear you guys come up with all of these different songs, because I would say for Rebecca, mine is the same. He Makes Everything Beautiful. It reminds me of Romans 8:28-29, right? Not just in knowing, like thinking of it as God's going to make all things good for those, right? That might not be that it's easy, but what it does define is verse 29, which says, those he foreknew, he also predestined that we would be conformed to the image of Christ. That's God's definition of good, right? It might not be comfortable. It might not be convenient and easy along the way. But if he can use something that can look so bad and turn it into something meaningful and good for his purpose, then, my friends, we can glory in our sufferings, as Romans 5 talks about. And so, Helen and David, I'm so grateful just for all of this time that you guys have invested into us. I'm reminded of a verse, 3 John 1:4. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And as we close, you guys, I would love, I'm going to start with you, Miss Helen, and then I'm going to close with Mr. David. It's often said as parents that our greatest contribution to the kingdom of God may not be what we do, but who we raise. An important word of just fidelity and significance to a lot of mom and dads out there who may not get a bunch of accolades. They may not get a lot of affirmations or validations or pat on the backs. Somebody, maybe a mom or dad out there who wipes a lot of noses, dries a lot of tears, they sacrifice a lot, but who knows the foundation that they could be laying, especially if it's built on the foundation of Christ. What's one final word of hope and encouragement you want to leave a mom and dad with today?
The hand that rocks the hot cradle holds the world. I think that's a huge, important one for mums. We are changing the world one child at a time. It is you've described a mother's life. It is the hardest. I believe it's the hardest job on the planet, but I also believe it's the most rewarding, and it is leaving a legacy. And I just encourage people to think about the legacy that they're leaving within their children. The children is what's going to outlive them. Their children are going to what's going to impact the world of tomorrow.
And message to men, love unconditionally, because if we get it right at home, our kids were going to say, oh, this Christian life works. If we don't get it right at home, like, you know, when dad's a follower of Jesus, family life is healthy.
Yeah.
If it's just mum by herself, as you know, it's not so healthy. So I read a book, read a chapter in a book by Larry Crabb, Inside Out, when I was 35, 10 years into marriage, and challenged me to love unconditionally.
In theaters everywhere, the movie title again, Unsung Hero, How a Family Relied on Their Faith, Prayer, and the Miracles of God to carry them through stormy weather, but to show them that there are always brighter days ahead. David, Helen Smallbone, thank you guys so much for joining us today. From all of us at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, we appreciate you, and we're praying nothing but blessing over Unsung Hero in the days ahead.
Thanks, Zach. Godspeed.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. On behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, God's richest blessings to you all. Join us again next time, and don't forget to go to timclinton.com to contact us or give us a call. You can call our constituent care team at 800-526-8673 for information on AACC resources, courses, scholarships, and live events. That's 800-526-8673. I'm Jim Kress. Thanks again for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
Life, Love, Faith, and Family is sponsored by the generosity of CityServe. Please go to cityserve.us to learn more about this amazing organization that works in cities across America and internationally. CityServe works through your local church to bless the underserved with their 10 initiatives. Go to cityserve.us to find out more and to bless them, won't you?